Blog Talk Radio.
Live from New York, you're listening to New York Baseball Digest with Mike Silva.
Welcome in on this Thursday, May 14th, tonight. Gary Carter, the manager of the Long Island Ducks, will join me. Of course, you could be part of the show 24/7, 365 at my blog, nybaseballdigest.com. Well, hope everyone's having a great day, and another fun show I think I have here for you today. The last time we spoke was actually Sunday night when Roy White joined me at the studios of 1240 AM WGBB, and this month has been one of those streaks we've gone on where I've really tried to bring you some former names out there to, you know, go back and catch up with the Paul Birds and Roy White and guys like that. Brett Main had a great segment just about a week ago when we'd talked about the art of catching. But tonight, we have another catcher on and someone who's returning to the show. Now, those who are loyal listeners of New York Baseball Digest and the journey that we've been on since March of 2007 know that the first big-name former athlete to join our show was Gary Carter that April. About a month into the existence of the show, Gary called into WGBB on a Sunday night, and we had the opportunity to catch up with him and really do the first alumni segment. Now, since then, we've done many more Mets and Yankees alumni segments, and of course, like I said, Gary was the first. But tonight, we're not going to be focusing on Gary, the Mets catcher or the Hall of Famer. We're going to be focusing on him as a manager, and a lot has happened since that night on April of 2007. Gary had just come off of being in the Mets system. He was a manager in St. Lucie. He won a championship with them. He had guys like Mike Karp and Philip Umber and Mike Pelfrey, just to name a few, play for him that year. He was offered the job in Binghamton. He turned it down, and at the time, Willie Randolph had just signed a three-year contract, so didn't look like there was going to be much opportunity at the big league level, which Gary has been very open about, and that's what's gotten him into trouble, about wanting to manage at the at the big league level. Now, no one could have predicted the collapse that the Mets would have in 07 and the issues that Willie would wind up having with both his players and the media. And in the midst of all this, I believe it was about a year ago around this time when Willie Watch was starting, Gary was pretty open about wanting to manage the Mets, and many took that as Gary campaigning for Willie's job. And I think that when you start to look under the surface and hear Gary talk, sure, did he want the job? Yes. Was he looking to see another man get hacked? Well, I don't think so. And you can make the argument that maybe Jerry Manuel was more in that camp than Willie Randolph, because he was sitting right next to him and being asked some of the questions about what's wrong with the team. So, you know, it didn't really hurt Jerry. He winds up getting the job and now is managing the Mets, at least for the time being. And Gary sometimes comes across as persona non grata. He was in the Independent League last year, the Golden Baseball League, which is out in the West Coast, in his where he grew up, his hometown. He managed out there. And then he came east this year to manage the Long Island Ducks, and Gary's going to kind of take us through his journey, and I had a chance to catch up with him last week at Citibank Park, and if you haven't been out to Citibank Park, like I said, great experience for the family, affordable baseball, and I want to also thank, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Casey Lynn, who this week is going to be taking over for Mike Solano, media relations over there with the Long Island Ducks. But, you know, the point being is that I had a chance to catch up with Gary at his office at Citibank Park and really talk about the Willie Randolph situation, who he is as a manager, what he thinks he has to learn. You know, does he think that not taking the Binghamton job, it was a big deal, and does he regret that? And then I want to get his thoughts on managing in the Atlantic League. You know, I had a chance to talk to Dave LaPointe a couple of years ago. It's not always easy because you have former All-Stars like a Carl Everett or Edgardo Alfonso, those who were there when Dave was the manager. Now he's the pitching coach. You know, Gary has some of his own stars he has to deal with. He has Preston Wilson, former All-Star. He has Brad Halsey, a former Yankees prospect that was involved in the Randy Johnson trade that's trying to make it back after being away from baseball for about a year. So, you know, Gary has his own challenges, And I think the biggest thing that I want to get out of him when I went there was tell us who you are as a manager and talk about the situation and where you're at now. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised about what you hear. So anyway, let's take a quick commercial break. When we return, you're going to hear from Hall of Famer, former Mets catcher, and current manager of the Long Island Ducks, Gary Carter, when I spoke with him last week at Citibank Park. We'll be back right after this.
Don't leave your seat. New York Baseball Digest with Mike Silva will be right back.
iFungo.com. Premium equipment for the premier athlete. Ever wonder if you can use the same equipment the big leaguers use? Now you can. Pro-grade wood bat manufacturer customized to suit your needs. iFungo.com is a professional company run by a professional. Garrett Berger, owner and CEO and former first-round pick by the Florida Marlins, makes iFungo.com the place to go to get the best quality baseball equipment available today. With every glove purchase from iFungo.com, the customer will receive a free book entitled A Glove of Their Own, bringing the innocence of the game back into our hearts. iFungo.com, your online baseball source.
Attention dog lovers, feel the reward, feel the love. Homeless Golden Retrievers need your help. Long Island Golden Retriever Rescue urges you to visit our website at www.ligrr.org. See how you can adopt, foster, or donate to a Golden Retriever that deserves a chance for a loving home. Please visit www.ligrr.org. Or call us at 516-578-3803. Never miss a golden opportunity.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Now, back to New York Baseball Digest with Mike Silva.
With Gary Carter, the manager of the Long Island Ducks, joining us. And, you know, Gary, here we are in Long Island, New York. You have a long baseball career. You've had a managing career.
Right.
Strange how things happen, and here you are. I mean,
right.
Talk about your first, you know, week here in Long Island with the Ducks.
Well, it's been a great experience. I mean, I've enjoyed my opportunity here immensely. Last year, I managed out on the West Coast in the Golden League with the Orange County Flyers.
Sure.
And I got a call from Frank Bolton, the owner, and of course Buddy Harrelson, who's been a longtime friend, and he's a part owner here as well. And I was up here for Joe Namath's golf tournament, and I had the opportunity of meeting with Frank personally for the first time. We talked on the phone, and you know, he was very receptive, and obviously in the 10-year anniversary, you know, his interest is to try to win a championship, and I've been fortunate enough as a manager. And again, you know, the success of a manager comes from your players.
Sure.
And fortunately, I've been able to manage some good ball clubs, and we've won two championships in a row, 06 with the Mets and Port St. Lucie, and then last year with the Flyers. But my experience here has been a good one. I feel like it's a time of reminiscing. I'm able to come back to where I played for 5 years as a Met from 85 through 89, had a home in Oyster Bay Cove, getting a chance to see a lot of friends again, and getting a lot of acquaintances coming back and calling me and saying, hey, remember me? And, you know, it's been really good. But, you know, my job here is to try and provide a championship and, you know, to help these guys. And I'm enjoying the challenge and certainly the opportunity.
I thought it was pretty interesting that you're writing for Newsday. You got a blog for Newsday.
Well,
and that's pretty cool. I mean, you admitted you weren't a technological guy, but Gary, those were some good posts. I looked through
them. Well, it's really Casey. You know, Casey's the one asking me the questions, and he just said that there's an interest, and Newsday gets these questions from outsiders, and And so we spend, 5-10 minutes, and he asks me the questions, and then he takes care of the rest. So I give all the credit to the blog to Casey. It's not me.
You mentioned St. Lucie. Last time we talked, you had just turned down the Binghamton job with the Mets. And I understood your position.
Right.
Binghamton, New York. Mets had just signed Willie to a contract.
Right.
Do you ever think if you had taken that Binghamton job, hung in there, things would be different? Tough to say, but do you ever think of that?
Well, of course I do. And I think now, looking back in retrospect, I probably made the wrong mistake, wrong decision. That maybe it might be a different story now. But at the time, when I asked of my position and my future, I was not given a solid answer, and that's the only reason. But had I have been given at least a little bit of an encouragement just to say, okay, you go here, and time will tell. And I even offered to my final decision was I'll go there, but does that give me an opportunity to maybe move up the next year? And that's all I was hoping for, because the manager that took over for me, Mac Olivares, he's now back there for the third year.
Sure.
So
that's right.
It's just a matter of I didn't want to be kept or stopped in one place. I wanted to continue to make my rise, and I just didn't see that there was maybe that future there.
Yeah.
And so I did sit out all of 07. I missed the game immensely, and then this opportunity came about, out in California with the Flyers, and I went back to my old hometown of Fullerton, and fortunately was able to win another championship. So, baseball's a funny game in that regard, and a lot of the time it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I think in the situation that I was in, like you had just said, they had just signed Willie. I actually even did an interview for the first base coaching job, and they ended up giving it to Howard Johnson, and he was deserving. And I just simply said, well, let me diversify my opportunities and maybe go to AAA and be the hitting coach.
Sure.
And there was no chance of that. And go back to Port St. Lucie so I could at least be close to home. That didn't happen. So there was a lot of options that were given. It was just a matter that there wasn't anything except Binghamton.
Yeah.
So, it was my choice. I don't blame or fault the Mets by any means. It just happened that way. And we move on. So
yeah.
Hopefully maybe there's a future somewhere else.
You brought up an interesting point. It's not who you know. It's not what you know. It's who you know. And
right.
As a player, it's performance. You're going to hit 300. You're going to be in the lineup. And
right.
I talked to a lot of former players, and they're like, the politics is part of it. Has that been one of your biggest learnings on the managerial side, or you were prepared for that, having the kind of long career you did?
I was prepared somewhat. I knew it a little bit as a mm-hmm. player that, if you start out in an organization, like I was a number three pick, that I was going to be given more opportunities. And it goes without saying, if you look at all the organizations, players that do sign, like in the top five or top ten, they're going to be given more of a chance and an opportunity. And if they're grooming someone, if there's an opportunity for someone, then that you can kind of just sense it that that's what's going to transpire. That it seems as though that if you're a bench coach, you get more of an opportunity to maybe get a managerial position. That's what's happened with guys like Joe Maddon and Don Wakamatsu and Ron Washington and different guys like that. So I was even open, like I said, to maybe just be a coach at the major league level. But again, that didn't happen. And it's a matter of knowing the manager and him feeling comfortable and not to be a threat or anything
sure.
else. Because
sure.
I think if you talk to most coaches, they would also like to have that opportunity to be able to maybe have the chance of managing. And again, I am open to whatever. I mean, I enjoy managing. I love, being able to help direct a ball club and everything. But I would be open to any kind of a bench coaching job, first base coach job, third base coach job. It doesn't matter. But I just love the game, and I have a passion for it. And I would love to have that that opportunity to lead a team to a World Series title.
I mean, Gary, that's a very humbled opinion. I mean, you're a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You're an All-Star. You played for the one of the best teams in the history of baseball.
Right.
You're here in Long Island hitting on buses and stuff. That's got to count for something. I mean, do people give you credit for that? Because I don't think that's overlooked, because a lot of guys in your position, they're out golfing right now. They're not sitting here talking to me, that's for sure.
Right. Well, I've looked at all those things, and I've I've prayed about it, and I've shared with my wife, and I think my wife knows my love and passion. And yeah, I could be home playing golf and everything, but that gets old after a while too. I mean, I need something to motivate me, and I have an incentive, and the incentive is to get that opportunity someday. You know, I just think that there's something still yet missing. You know, I've been able to accomplish a lot of things as a player. Like you said, All-Star games and World Series titles, and being inducted into Cooperstown was the greatest honor of all time. But I still feel that at my age, at 55, I still have a lot more to offer, and I'd love to just get that chance. So it's like if I get that chance and we win, then I feel like I've accomplished everything, you know. And I think everyone can look back in their lifetime and say, did I do everything that I kind of really wanted to do? And that's one thing that I got into the broadcasting thing, and I just didn't think, I mean, could I get back into it again? Probably, but it's not my burning desire. Same thing with playing on the Celebrity Golf Tour. I played out there for but you know what? I realized I wasn't good enough, you know? My body's broken down enough. I've had 20 surgeries. I've had both my knees replaced. You know, my body couldn't take the punishment that is required to go out there and play every day. Mm. You know, I love the game, and I love to get out there and have fun with it and everything, but my challenge now is to try to manage and try and lead a team to a championship.
I know this is speculation. Do you worry that the comments that I think were misconstrued about Randolph's job are going to be tarnished and stigmatize you, and no matter what you do here, people are going to say, I remember him doing that. It's you know, look, professional industry, regardless of baseball, is unforgiving. And, you know, you've been open and honest about that. Does that concern you, though?
No, not really, because I hope that it's behind us now, because it wasn't meant to be malicious or undermining whatsoever. And I saw Willie at the All-Star game, and he says, hey, I know where your heart is. And he goes, I know you didn't mean anything by it. I guess the politically correct thing was to say, he's the manager now, and if there is that opening, then yes, I would be interested. But I just simply was honest, and I've always worn my heart on my sleeve, and I've always just said, you know, I love the game. I'd love to have the opportunity. And so it wasn't meant anything against Willie. I mean, his name was being surfaced and talked about. And I simply just answered a question honestly. Yeah. That's all.
I spoke to Dave LaPointe, who was in your position. And it was actually a couple of years ago when Alfonso and Everett were coming in. And I said, you know, here you are, and you got a lot of guys who have a lot of experience. What could you offer them at this point in their career? And he mentioned bringing back the love of the game, because in one way, shape, or form, you as well as these guys have had the game take a turn on them, and that's why they're here. Right. You know, do you agree with that, and what are you bringing to these guys?
Well, I think that they see that, and I mean, just to give a guy an example, like Preston Wilson, he says he wants to fall back in love with the game again.
Sure.
And I guess these guys see that in me, about riding buses, like you're saying, and going that extra mile and doing everything I can to help them along and everything. And my offering is simply talking the game and experiences and obviously knowledge that I have toward the game, certain instances that occur in the game, you know, to be more ready. You know, like for instance, there was a squeeze play that I put on the other day. And Francia saw the runner but break late, and he, instead of bunting, he kind of slapped at it. Well, my words to him were, don't worry about that guy. Your job is to get the ball down. So it's just a matter of instructing them to the extent, or to know where to play, or put on certain hit-and-run plays in situations, or call pitch-outs, or call throwovers, or different things like that. And there's a lot of intangibles to the game that I can offer. And if they see my style and my enthusiasm toward that, then a lot of the time that rubs off. I mean, sometimes they say that the personality of the manager rubs off and the team takes on.
You know, what is the one thing you feel you would want to get better at? You know, some managers, they talk about bullpen management and game strategy. You know, you're pretty open about, hey, I have the personality to lead a group.
Right.
That's the toughest one.
Right.
But what about the X's and O's? There's something that you feel you need to work on here to get you to that next step.
Well, I don't know what that answer would be, simply that, you know, you rely on your coaches, and I think we got a great coaching staff here. Kevin Baez is outstanding. Dave LaPointe, who was in my position last year but now takes on the reins of pitching coach, I put a lot of trust and faith in him, and he knows who to get up and who to be ready. And we talk about that. He's kind of like my bench coach. Buddy Harrelson, on the other hand, you know, part owner, and then also he goes out and schmoozes with all the fans and everything like that. But yet I pick his brain as well, because Buddy's been in that position as a manager as well. So it's just a matter of strategizing and realizing and when to give your players opportunities to play. You want to keep everybody sharp. You don't want to, you know, just play your regulars until they get tired, and then you throw one of the extra guys in there, and then they're not ready. You know, so I've been trying to do that, is to give everybody the opportunity. And when guys are struggling a little bit, you got to kind of recognize that, and when to give them a rest, and when to pump them up, and just different things that transpire within the clubhouse and with the players. So I mean, if there's a thing that I'm continuing to learn, it's the personalities of each of these players.
One last thing. So you have this year, you'll be in Long Island.
Right.
Do you have a time frame? If you don't get a call in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, you have a passion for this.
Right.
But is there a point where you're like, hey, I can't dedicate X number of years to independent ball or to beating the bushes in a minor league system?
Well, my wife has given her blessing, so
that's important.
It's very important. And my kids are grown and pretty much out of the house. I mean, I have two grandsons, and I've got a granddaughter on the way, due in the middle of August.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I know my wife in some ways would like to have me home, but I probably would drive her crazy if I was home all the time. So I don't think there is really any time frame. It's just a matter of I want to enjoy this year, and I want to reevaluate at the end of this year. I'm not going to set a time frame to say, if I don't get something by the end of this year, that's it, or what have you. I want to really see how this is. I've enjoyed, you know, nine games into the season only so far. We've got 131 more to go. And I just want to get a feel for this year, and then we'll make a decision at the end of this
year. Hey, listen, good luck. Appreciate your time.
And that's Gary Carter, manager of the Long Island Ducks. And before we wrap up here, and just so you guys know out there, our next show will be on Sunday. Howard and I will be doing the Weekly Digest 7 o'clock this Sunday, because the Mets will be playing on the ESPN game against the Giants. And of course, you guys all know Yankees wrapping up their road trip, coming home. Mets heading out for a nice little West Coast trip that'll conclude in Boston in about 10 days. But just so you get a little perspective here on Gary and what he's doing. And by the way, that blog that I mentioned, that Newsday, is really good. He gives you some interesting insight. You know, recently, he was talking about some of his easiest pitchers to catch. He was giving you his take on some of his players, and I think he talked about David Wright and some of the things that are going on with the struggles with the current team, talked about Citi Field, Hall of Fame, you know, all sorts of interesting stuff. But from a distance, and after talking to Gary and thinking about this and talking to those around the game, agents and scouts and so on and so forth, I think, and this is my opinion, I don't have any kind of inside information or anything like that, I think the one thing that, and Gary said this, that may hurt him is that he hasn't been a bench coach on a professional ball club. Now, Gary is clearly passionate about managing. He has a knowledge of the game. There's no doubt about that. He's a Hall of Fame catcher. But as you saw with Willie Randolph, some of the X's and O's that come with the territory often aren't done by osmosis because you're an all-star or Hall of Famer. And I'm not quite sure, and I don't watch Gary manage day in and day out in the Atlantic League, and I don't necessarily know if I have to, because I don't know how much that's going to prove, but I think Gary might want to get on the pro game, not in a situation like the Atlantic League, where, not that there's development, but I also, you know, wonder how, in between, you know, the restrictions of pitchers, you don't know if a guy's working on something, or, you know, obviously the guys who are trying to get back up there are not working on things. They want to get hitters out, but there might be some development with some of the other guys. But regardless, I think the feeling I get is that Gary is very passionate. He can inspire a club, but he mentioned coaches and needing good coaches around him to maybe help him a little bit with the X's and O's, and that's fine, because I think any good manager wants to have intelligent, solid coaches around him. But I think you also want to feel like you have the ability that if they weren't there, that you're still confident. And I'm not saying that Gary isn't, but that you're confident in your decision-making ability. And I don't know if I was a general manager if I would be completely confident at this point saying that, okay, Gary, you've managed at St. Lucie, you've managed in the Golden League, you've managed now in the Atlantic League, here's my professional ball club, my job's on the line, you're my manager, especially if it's New York. I think it would help to transition, similar to even a Joe Girardi was a bench coach, Willie was a third base coach for a while, I think he was on the bench maybe with Torrey 1 year, the year before he, maybe not, I don't think he was on the bench with Torrey, I'd have to look that up, but he mentioned Joe Maddon was a bench coach. I mean, there is something to be said for being on the bench with a pro ball club and learning from a manager who, right next to you, is dealing with, you're going to deal with 162 times a year, especially in a big market, and I don't know if those jobs will necessarily be available, but regardless, you want to be able to feel comfortable that your first job, a little bit of the training wheels are off. I don't think it'll ever be 100% off, but that a little bit of the training wheels are off. And I'm not quite sure managing the Golden League, St. Lucie, and the Atlantic League is preparing Gary 150% for that. And I think that's where you need to be if you're going to be managing a big league ball club. But certainly the passion, the players can learn. He loves this. Look, if he's out there not golfing, schlepping on buses in the Atlantic League, and I'm sure he's getting a nice salary, but not nearly what he would be getting if he was with professional baseball or organized baseball. He's got to love this, and I think they could learn a lot. I think in a lot of ways that he got a raw deal from the Mets. He probably should have taken that Binghamton job and then evaluated at the end of that year versus rolling the dice and saying, hey, I'll get a job somewhere else. And maybe, and Gary's not going to admit this, I don't think, maybe he thought because of his name, because of his playing day stature, that he would land on his feet a lot sooner. And I'm learning very quickly, and I think players will tell you that. Different ball game when you're in the front office or the managerial position. There is a lot of politics. There is a lot of things that go into, not just merit sometimes. And even as you heard Gary say, it's not always merit with players, especially coming up through a system. But once you make it to the major leagues, for the most part, if you hit and you play well, you play. And if you're a Hall of Famer and you put those kind of numbers up, you're going to play regardless of politics. But, hey, listen, you know that plays a part in sometimes you getting a shot, and you know that's a whole other show, I guess, for another day. But, hey, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Really enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed hearing from Gary Carter again and hearing his perspective. We're going to be having a few more of the Long Island Ducks on this show. And stay tuned as Preston Wilson will be joining us next week, and then we have a lot more great content for you on the way. But right now, we are out of time, but you can listen to the replay of this show or any show at nybaseballdigest.com. You can also check me out at dugoutcentral.com. Special thanks to contributors tonight, Gary Carter. Check out the Long Island Ducks at liducks.com. Also want to thank Casey Lynn, media relations, also at the Long Island Ducks. I want to thank Blog Talk Radio and 1240 AM WGBB for hosting the show. And remember to tune in for the best features, interviews, opinions, and analysis on New York baseball at nybaseballdigest.com. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your night.